The following is a presentation of Edgewood Reformed Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
Good morning, beloved. This is Pastor Rusty with another edition of Thoughts on Our World. Today is April the 12th, 2012. And in the news today is a report from California on the 40 days of prayer for abortion. Now, many things that I'd like to say or we could say to this regard. The first thing obviously comes to mind is Paul's admonition to Timothy, in which he says that in latter days men will accumulate teachers to tickle their itching ears and to teach things that are more in keeping with the thoughts and the doctrines of men than with the Word of God. But rather than going there today, I wanted to just speak briefly to a principle that I think many in our world today, both within the world and within paganality, and also within the church, overlook. And that comes directly from the book of Genesis. As a matter of fact, Genesis chapter 1, verses 28. And following, we see God's mandate for children. As a matter of fact, beginning at verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them," this is Adam and Eve, "and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food." And God goes on to say in verses 30 and 31 that the beasts of the earth are to be submissive to man. And at the end of this, verse 31 says that God saw that everything that He had made, everything that He had ordained, was very good. Now, where this intersects the idea of abortion is simply this: that God has ordained the bearing of children, and He has done so within the confines of a one man, one woman marriage, as given to us within the book of Genesis. As I was reading this article on the 40 days of prayer for abortion, I was grieved over the fact that ministers within this particular area of California have endorsed this 40 days of prayer for abortion. And my word to any pastor, any minister that might be listening to my voice this morning is this: that our ministry, our preaching, our shepherding is always in conformance with the infallible, inerrant, and authoritative Word of God. God has revealed Himself to us in His Word, and so our message and our ministry, and by extension our support and affirmation of various and sundry things, cannot be in conflict with the Word of God. And so we take this Genesis 1 passage to heart. I was also greatly grieved as I read through this article, and it talked about one of the prayer points in this 40 days of prayer. As a matter of fact, day number one, according to this article, is, quote, "Today we pray for women for whom pregnancy is not good news, that they know they have choices." Well, unquote. I would take exception to that particular point, according to the Word of God, in saying that pregnancy is not only not bad news, but that any pregnancy is certainly good news. God has ordained the bearing of children. And verse 31 of Genesis 1 says, "And God saw what He had made, what He had ordained, and it was very good." But beyond that, as if we needed justification beyond that, but beyond that, in this text, not only is what God has ordained good, but God has given a mandate to all people upon the face of the earth to engage in the bearing of children. Now, in verse 28, it's very clear. God blessed them and said to them, in this very first part of verse 28, the word bless and the word said in the Hebrew are in the imperfect tense or in imperfect aspect. And in the Hebrew Old Testament, that typically brings not only a continued or repetitive action, but it does have the understanding of an ability, a given ability or a granted ability. And so basically what God is doing here in verse 28 is he is not only continually blessing or repetitively blessing, but he is instructing. In his blessing, in his communication to Adam and Eve, he is not just simply saying, hey, you guys, when you get around to it and you feel like it, do this. No, God is actually giving them instructions. His blessing to them would be something akin to walking within the center of my will, walking within the presence of my ordination and my ordained will for you is that you bear children. And he says that, the Lord says that in the next part of verse 28. The words fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, and dominion are all imperatives within the Hebrew text. And imperatives are relatively straightforward words. They give commands. Now, sometimes the shading of the command may be very straightforward, very what one might say aggressive, and at other times the command may be a little more subdued, a little more subtle. But at any rate, an imperative is an imperative. A command is a command. And God says, first of all, to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And what that means is bear children. God has ordained and commanded that childbirth be not only a natural part of life, but an unordained part of life. And we know this to be true. Now, there are many instances in our world today where heterosexual couples, men and women, outside the confines of marriage, parent children. They conceive and bear and raise children. We, from a biblical perspective, would hold that the right environment for that would be within marriage, but the natural functioning, the natural anatomy, the natural procreative process is that men and women bear children, that it requires the input of the father and it requires the input of the mother, a man and a woman to bear children. And this is just the natural created order that God has given to us, but he has also commanded that we are to bear children, to be fruitful, to produce children after our own kind, following the same wording of Genesis itself, and to multiply. That this idea that a pregnancy is at times not a good thing, that it's inconvenient, that it is not proper for one's particular station of life, is just simply a lie. It is a deception and a lie of the devil straight from the pit of hell. That children and the conception of children are always a gift from God. Now, let me just hedge and hesitate to say that I would not think that the scriptures give us the ability to go and just conceive children in any old way, primarily outside the confines of a one man one woman marriage, but nonetheless, regardless of how conception may have come about, the conception of that child is in fact a gift from God, for all children are a gift from God, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full. So the idea that God does grant conception. But this text goes on to say, to fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over what God had created, the fish and the birds and every living creature. God originally gave man dominion over all the earth. Now, we know that in Genesis 3, as Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God and transgressed his word, that they gave up their dominion over the created order to the prince of the power of this present evil age, to Satan, to the demonic realm. But God nonetheless has charged man to fill the earth, to subdue the earth, and have dominion over the earth. Now, we could go in a lot of different directions and get off base and off in a ditch very quickly here. But let me just share the intent and context of this particular passage. As God said to fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion or exercise dominion over the earth, over the created order, what God was intending, what he was communicating was the birthing of children, the conception and the birthing of children, but doing that within the confines of the family. And we find the seminal idea of family right here in this verse, that families together would not only father and birth children, conceive and birth children, but would raise those children in the admonition of the Lord so that they may in turn, in obedience to God's command, father their own children, birth their own children, and therefore continually perpetuate the family line, the family name, as children would give birth to grandchildren and to great-grandchildren and to great-great-grandchildren. It is in accordance with Exodus and Deuteronomy, in which the Lord says, showing loving kindness to a thousand generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. That idea of filling the earth, but also subduing it. God's people have always been called to be salt and light in this world, and to subdue the things, the forces of evil, the sin, the depravity, the wickedness, the working by the sweat of one's brow and in labor bringing forth bread, as which is a result of the curse in Genesis 3, and confronting the worldly pagan ideas that just seem to be so rampant within our world today. Way back in Genesis 1, it tells us that we are to subdue. As God's people, we are to subdue. That's an imperative also. It's not a polite suggestion. It's a command that we are to be at work in bringing about order and structure and those things that would seek to bring glory to God through order. And then to offer dominion. This is the last imperative in this verse. Dominion means to rule or rule over. Not in a tyrannical sort of way, but within the confines and under the specific admonitions of God's Word, that we're called to exercise the dominion or the rulership that God Himself has given to His people. And so, just as we look at this briefly today, my admonition to you would be to go and consider this verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and see where we're all falling short in this idea, and then repent and strive to be fruitful, multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it, and to exercise dominion over it. Not that we might be elevated, not that we might think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but that we might truly give glory to God. It is the chief end of man that we glorify God and enjoy Him forever as we fulfill the biblical mandates given to us in Scripture. Well, that's my view of this verse, and so I certainly invite you to share your view with me. You can email me at rusty@iamedgewood.org. That's R-U-S-T-Y at I-A-M-E-D-G-E-W-O-O-D.org. I certainly look forward to hearing from you, and my prayer today is that the grace of God would fill you with everything that you need to glorify God in this day.